scripture, I see and I understand that Jesus, when he came at the nobodies, the blind, the lame. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And those are the people that he came looking for, not the high and mighty. So I want to try to convey to you this morning, it is, we are the greatest people on this planet. We're God's children, and we must know and understand these things. So let me read a little something to you. Inferiority is a feeling we're all familiar with. We may not all feel inferior about the same thing, but there's a certain area in each of our lives where we feel unqualified, second-rated, or maybe even fearful. Many times, this feeling extends itself into our walk with God, and we think we are unworthy to be used by God. That's feeling inferior. And what will happen when we let that spirit overtake us, we will sit around and do nothing. God has called us out and he commissioned us to work in his kingdom. In the Bible, history teaches us that there was a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon was a man who was acquainted with such thoughts. You see, during his time, the Midianites would steal the grain that the Israelites had farmed, harvested, and worked to obtain. The grain was winnowed or separated by throwing it up in the air and allowing the wind to blow the chaff away while the heavier grain fell to the ground. This was done in a breezy high place, such as a hill or mountain. The problem was that the Midianites could see when the Israelites were separating and would attack them. So Gideon had an idea. He separated in the wine press because it was low and surrounded by a tree. It may not have been as effective, but at least the Midianites would not see him. Thus, they would not be able to attack him. Let's look at the scriptures in Judges chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 11 through 17. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the I cannot pronounce that word. And his son Gideon threshed the wheat, the winepress, by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and deliver us into the hands of the Midianite. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He was feeling inferior, like there were nobodies. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Gideon was feeling inferior, and he wasn't sure that the Lord God was with him. The Lord called Gideon a brave man, when in reality he was hiding from the Midianites. Gideon could not understand why God would call him courageous when he knew inside he was a coward. He couldn't believe that God would want to use him when his family was the least insignificant in the tribe and he was the most unimportant person in his family. In fact, he wasn't even sure if he had really heard from God. So he asked God for a series of signs. And even then, he felt unsure. God had led him overheard a dream of the Midianites. Gideon struggled with the feeling of inferiority and fear. Sounds familiar? Why would God want to use me or you or you or I? We're nobody. We're not educated. We sometimes doubt God's calling on our life, but God calls us anyway. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and called him mighty man, I can imagine Gideon looking around and say, "Who, me?" So he began to challenge God. And in verse 13, he said, if, why, where? He had questions for God. If you're with me, why are these things happening? Where's all the miracles that our father told us about? Then he concluded that the Lord had forsaken him. That is when we must remember the word of the Lord God. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those promises are settled. They're immutable and unchangeable. God had promised him that he would deliver Israel. But in his mind, he wasn't able to. So Gideon began to explain in verse 15 why he wasn't able. And he said the Lord had forsaken him. In verse 14, he had just received a word from the Lord, but it did not sink in. He had a hard head just like me. But because the Lord was so gracious, he spoke again in verse 16. And he gave Gideon another chance. He said, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. So you see, we've got to learn to trust God. Whatever he says, that's what it's going to be. No one can change it. He's God Almighty. He rules everything. He's God over all the earth, heaven and earth. There is one God. His name is Jesus, and he is the only promise keeper that there is. We must learn to trust God with everything and at all times. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but he promised that he will be with us even to the end of the world. The enemy wants us to believe that we are not good enough to work for the kingdom of God. He always wants us to feel inferior. He wants us to live under condemnation at all times, to stay in a mode of repentance. He wants us to stand idle in the marketplace. He doesn't want us to work while it's day. He knows that the night is coming and we won't be able to work. But God's children must understand that we are not working in our own power or ability. It is the power that dwells in us. Because Jesus says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. So it's really not about us. It's the God that have called us and promised us. And whatever he says he will do, he will do it. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ. He strengthens us at all times. In his strength, there is nothing that we can't do. But we must learn to trust God and rebuke that spirit of inferiority. We are not inferior. We are superior to all the people on planet Earth because God lives in us. Jesus resides in us. We are temple of the living God. And he walks with us. He talks with us. He deliver us, he sustain us, and he provide for us. That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. In Judges chapter 6, let's look at verses 33 through 37. Gideon did not understand That's why I like this series that our pastor is teaching us, to know God. We have got to get to know him. When we get to know God, we'll understand his ways. And when he commands us to do something, we'll be willing to do it. But if we don't know him, we'll be living in fear. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou art said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. God had spoke to him several times that he's going to use him, Gideon, to deliver Israel, but he couldn't get it. So now he's fleecing God. When God speaks, you know, it's the same thing that pretty much happened to this guy called Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah did not respond. He said, no, I'm not going. But because God is so gracious and full of mercy, in the 3rd chapter, you'll read it again. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and that's when he made his move. And if he had went on the first time, he wouldn't have gotten into the trouble that he did. Ended up praying in the whale of the belly. So the Midianites had 135,000 trained warriors in the valley. Gideon had 32,000, came to fight against them. Still, God wanted to change the odds in his favor. Maybe you were thinking that the 300 men were sharp shooters or trained mighty warriors. The 32,000 at battle time was reduced to 300. They weren't valiant warriors. They weren't trained men. It's more likely that they were broken down ones with bad backs and knees that they couldn't go down on their knees to drink the water. God must get the glory. It doesn't matter what he uses us to do. The glory belongs to God. All the glory belongs to him. No man shall steal his glory. So God reduced the army down to 300. They weren't elite, but the unlikely, unworthy, weak, the foolish things that would bring God all the glory. We must remember that no matter what happened in our lives or what God uses us to do, he could heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever it be, God gets the glory. There was a man by the name of Moses. He had the same problem, feeling inferior. We're talking about inferiority, a spirit that attacks God's children and put us in a holding pattern where we sit around and we know we should witness to our coworker, or the Lord promised us if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's not our power. It's the power that works through us. And because we're feeling intimidated by the enemy, we refuse to lay hands on people. And we wait for the pastor or the ministry to lay hands on them. But if we've got the Holy Ghost in us, it is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that moves mountains when he speaks. It's the same power that calms the raging sea. It lives in us. So we've got to use and utilize that power that God gave to his children. We are children of the Most High God, the greatest people, I say, on this planet. That's what we are. But we must know our identity, know who we are, and get to know our God. Moses was commanded to go and speak to Pharaoh, but he felt inferior. And he began to tell God why he wasn't able to go. All God wanted Moses to do was to convey 8 words to Pharaoh. Let my people go that they may worship me. Let my people go so they may serve me. Moses told God, I can't talk. I don't know. I don't want to go. He felt inferior. And then God got a little anger with him and said, hey, I made you. I made your mouth. I'm the one that put words in your mouth. So when the Lord speaks to us and convinces us, we should go without any fear, any doubts, or unbelief. Because it's not us. It's the Spirit that works through us. And whatever his word says, it will accomplish. Because it will not come back void. We must learn to trust God and obey his words. And we will see miracles, signs, and great wonders. Because it was promised to us. We are the children of the Most High God. And none can withstand us. Amen. Judges chapter 7, verses 2 through 7, we'll read. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand will save me. We'll do that. God will use us to do something, and in our minds we're thinking we're the one that did it, or we're the one that caused that to happen. It's never going to be about us. It's always going to be God. He will always get the glory, because if he hadn't had mercy on us and called us out, we wouldn't even be here this morning. So God will always receive the glory. Amen? Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart from the Mount of Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. Remember, he started out with 32,000. So 22,000, they were afraid. And they say, hey, this is my chance. I'm going home. So there remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Remember, the Midianites had 135,000 trained warriors. And God is telling this man, you've got 10,000 people, that's still too many. We've got to test them and send them home. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth off the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped put their hands to their mouth were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites in thy hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So Gideon ended up with 300 people, and they had to fight 135,000. God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to test them. And he brought the odds down to 450 to 1. 300 stood up and used their hands to drink the water, even though they didn't know that they were being tested. They were watchful, and they were vigilant. They were alert at all times. They got the water in their hands, they picked it up, and they drank it. And they could look around and see their enemy if they're under attack. The other 9,700, They lay down on their knees and they started drinking the water out of the river. They couldn't see anything. That's the only thing that their minds were on, drinking some water because I'm thirsty. That is not God. That is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be alert, to be vigilant, to be watchful at all times. He said, watch and pray. So we must be vigilant. And God chose the 300 because they were ready for battle. The 9,700 put their face in the water to drink, and that's all they could see. They weren't able to see the enemy. They weren't watchful. If we are walking by sight and not by faith, and 300 of us had to face 135,000 trained warriors, I know exactly what I'd do. I'd find a rock to hide under. If we're walking by sight. Because there's no way possible 300 men would be able to defeat 135,000 in his own strength. But because the Lord God is with us, we understand that they are more with us than they are with them. With them is an arm of flesh, but with us it's the Lord our God. He will fight for us. He will deliver us. And he'll always defend us because we are his church. So therefore, you must remember, when we are weak, he will always show himself strong among us. Remember, God is with us, and he's fighting for us. He's not against us. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 26 through 29. For you see, your calling, brethren, are that not many wise men are after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised are God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things which are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. 300 against 135,000. God must get the glory. We must understand always it's not about us. It's about this great God of glory who laid his life down and walked in the flesh. He feel everything that we feel because the scripture said plainly, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. God knows everything even before it happened. He's infinite in his wisdom. And I thank him this morning. Why does God want all the glory? Because if you put your confidence in any person that you think has it all together, is sharp, and has much education, training, or creativity, if you put your eyes on any ministry or any organization, you will be ultimately disappointed. They will not be there in the way you hope they would. They will not come through for you in the way that you think they should, because all flesh is flawed. But God is not flawed. God wants us all. God wants all the glory to go to him so that you will be impressed with him and keep your eyes focused on him. Not because he's on an ego trip, but because as you look to him, you will never be disappointed or disillusioned. For he alone is holy and able to see us through. Hallelujah. Somebody give him glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for your infinite wisdom and your peace which passeth all understanding. So there were 12 spies went into the land to spy out the land. God had already given them the land. Say, go and take it. 10 of them came back and said, oh, no, there are giants over there. In our eyes, we are like grasshoppers. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, say we are more than able to take the land. When God give it to us, it's ours, and we must go and possess it. But God, he keeps his promises. He never fails. He cannot fail. He's God and he's greater than the greatest. But we have got to get to know our God. Once we know this God and understand that the power that's in us came from him and the things that we are able to overcome is because of him, then we'll begin to get closer to him, because our God is the greatest God. The odds were 450-1, and he had no other choice but to trust God. There were nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. So he had to look to God for the answer. Remember, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher. Our God is wiser. Our God is mightier. He has not changed. He's still the same. And what he done for Gideon, he will do it again. Somebody clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, we praise you. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt the name of the Lord God. And we'll forever give him glory. Now, the strategy God uses to bring about his victory and will for Gideon and the 300 unlikely men is even stranger. How does God use people like you and I that are not qualified in the world's eyes? Untrained, not equipped. But 300 had clay pots covering a torch. When the jars were broken, the light came pouring out around the enemy below, and they were confused by it. They couldn't make sense of it. One more scripture, and I'm finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When we read verse 6 and 7. For God, who command the light to shine out of darkness, or shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, families and friends, I'll tell you today that don't feel we are not inferior. We are superior to all the people on planet Earth because Jesus is living in us. The fact of the matter is we are the greatest people on Earth. We are who God says that we are. We are God's children. We are a chosen generation. We are royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are called, chosen, but we must be faithful. We must get to know our God, and he will see us through. God is faithful. We cannot afford. Did I turn this off? Hello? We cannot afford to be terrified by the adversary or sit around and do nothing. We are called to work in his vineyard. You remember those who were standing idle at the marketplace? And Jesus said, hey, what you doing here? Oh, no man has hired us. And he hired them. He wants us to work in his vineyard. We must learn to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. We must work while it's day. The night is coming. And thank God for Pastor Kyle, who made me realize that if I'm not winning souls, I'm not even profitable. I'm unprofitable to the kingdom. I have to be about my Father's business. People are lost and dying without hope. They're hope for the hopeless. And we have got the message of life. We've got his spirit. All we have to do is dedicate ourselves. God will do the work. All we are doing is one plant and one water. And God will give the increase. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must learn to work while it's day. We've got power over the adversary. Jesus said, behold, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. So we've got that in us. We just have to activate that power, and devils will flee from us. They will hide when they see us coming. But we've got to activate the power that's in us. We must work while it's day. We must occupy until he comes. We must be of value to the kingdom of God by reaching the lost. The 9,700 men failed and were sent home. And God used 300 and gave his people the victory that day. He has not changed. Our God has not changed. He's the same God. And he will do it for us because he's faithful. He's faithful. I love the Lord this morning, and I'm thankful to be a part of this church, this ministry. I am so grateful that Pastor Kyle is my pastor, and I love him. And I'm just so grateful that God brought me here. And I want to do and be all that I can be for the kingdom of God. I don't have time to stand idle in the marketplace. Too many people are dying without hope. And we stand around because we feel inferior, thinking we're not working or operating in our strength or our power. It's the power that's in us. It came from heaven. It's our Father's promise. It's in us. And we've got that same power that they had. Nothing has changed. God, Jesus been here approximately 2,000 years ago. He's not a little old man now walking with a stick and not remembering his promises. No, he's the great God over everything, and none can withstand his mighty hand. He will never change. He's working for us. He's working on our behalf, and he's a very present help. Wherever you are and you call on Jesus, he will show up because he's always there. He fills the atmosphere. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And if you don't believe me, he the praises of his people, what's the word? He inhabits the praises of his people. So you will see this morning, when we begin to praise him and worship him, then he's going to manifest himself. If you don't see it, you will feel it. I guarantee you this morning, when we begin to worship this great God, God is alive and he's well. None can withstand the God that we serve. We are not wasting our time. Be encouraged this morning and keep fighting. We must continue to fight this good fight of faith that we may lay hold on eternal life. God is concerned about us. Pastor said, I write stuff down because I want to remember. That's why you see me with my little book like I ain't got good sense, but I know what I'm doing. I'm writing it down because I must remember. Pastor said, when we take care of God's business, then he will take care of ours. But what we do sometimes, we get locked in, oh, my little family, oh, God, my little job, help me, Jesus, with my business. And the person over there, they're dying, and we don't have time to look and see and minister to them. Now, if we go do that, then God is going to take care of that. That's the word of the Lord this morning. I want you to believe the word of the Lord. He's with us, and he's fighting for us. We are not inferior. We are not inferior. We are God's children. He has given us power. We've got to rise up and take the land. Even though God had given them the land, they had to go possess it. He said, I will give you the whole armor, but you've got to put it on. That's how we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. God is with us, my brothers and sisters. He has not left us or forsaken us. He's with us. Even though sometimes it feels like he's a million miles away, he's not. He's with us. He's right there. What happens sometimes? We drift away from him. But when we come back, he is right there. When the prodigal son left his home, his father never chased after him. But when he decided to come back, he went and he met him. He said, son, come on home. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time to stand up and wave that blood-stained banner and declare the name of the Lord God to a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, God, help us. Lord, I have delivered your word the best I know how. Now it's up to you to touch the hearts of your people, dear God. Make us to understand that we are warriors. We are mighty. We are soldiers in your army. Lord, that you'll touch every heart, every soul that crossed the threshold of this very place today. I pray, Lord God, I promise them that when we worship you, that you will manifest yourself, Lord. Lord, I'm standing on your words, your promise. I understand that I am nothing without you. It's because of your grace. So I pray you'll touch every heart in this place this morning and help us to be totally convinced and be sold out to you as you continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to greet somebody in Jesus' name and tell them that you love them. Tell them we shall work together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Meet somebody that you don't know. Get their phone numbers. Call them when you don't see them and inquire about them. Let's love each other and show the love of Jesus that's in us. In Jesus' name, amen.